Hark, listen, and you will see. This is the story that changes the world. Luke chapter 2. And it came to pass in those days that there went out a decree from Caesar Augustus that all the world should be taxed. And this taxing was first made when Cyrenius was governor of Syria. And all went to be taxed, everyone into his own city. And Joseph also went up from Galilee, out of the city of Nazareth, into Judea, unto the city of David, which is called Bethlehem, because he was of the house and lineage of David, to be taxed with Mary, his espoused wife, being great with child. And so it was that while they were there, the days were accomplished that she should be delivered. And she brought forth her firstborn son and wrapped him in swaddling clothes and laid him in a manger, because there was no room for them at the inn. And there were in the same country shepherds abiding in the field, keeping watch over their flock by night. And lo, the angel of the Lord came upon them, and the glory of the Lord shone round about them, and they were sore afraid. And the angel said unto them, Fear not, for behold, I bring you good tidings of great joy, which shall be to all people. For unto you is born this day in the city of David a Savior, which is Christ the Lord. And this shall be a sign unto you. Ye shall find the babe wrapped in swaddling clothes, lying in a manger. And suddenly there was with the angel a multitude of the heavenly host, praising God and saying, Glory to God in the highest, and on earth peace, goodwill toward men. Tonight we join the triumph of the skies, and with angelic host proclaim, Christ is born in Bethlehem. Hark, the herald angels sing, glory to the newborn king. Hark is an interesting word. It's a verb, and if you look up the meaning, you don't just get a few simple words that unpack the layers and the meanings of hark. You get a plethora of words. Hark, to give thought to attend to be aware of, to be guided by, to bear in mind, to consider, to follow, to listen, mark, mind, obey, observe, pay attention to, take to heart. The opposite of hark even makes it more clear. To disregard, ignore, neglect, overlook. So for tonight, let's just say it this way. Hark, listen, and you will see. Christmas brings back the memories, doesn't it? I remember growing up in a family where most of the time, whatever was on sale was what you were getting for Christmas. Your list didn't really matter. I figured that out by the time I was 6 or 7 years old. What was on sale is what you were getting for Christmas. I remember the year Betsy Wetsy came out. If you remember Betsy Wetsy, it means you are uncategorically old. You have lived a time and a time's time. But Betsy Wetsy was just amazing. It was amazing. Imagine a board meeting somewhere in corporate America, a long table, a bunch of men sitting around with cigars and are trying to figure out how they can erase the red at the bottom line, how they can take their company to even higher levels of profit. JV, we got to do something. We got to do something. The girls, they all got the dolls. They got the carriages. They got the blankets. They got the bottles. They got everything. We're not going to have a successful Christmas until we come up with an astounding idea. And I think I have an astounding idea, JV. We're going to make a doll that wets its pants. We're going to call her Betsy Wetsy. The girls are going to go crazy. It's going to be amazing. So we're going to make millions and millions of dollars, JV. It's going to be great. And it was great. And they made millions and millions of dollars. And so we never saw a Betsy Wetsy because they were just making a killing on this doll. But after a while, every toy runs its course. Every product runs its course. And then the discounts begin. And finally, one year, several years later, Betsy Wetsy was selling for 80% off. And suddenly there, that Christmas, under the tree, was a Betsy Wetsy with my name on it. Mom, Dad, I'm a boy. I can't have a Betsy. Dad says, shut up, it was 80% off. Mom says, like she always would say, be creative, Michael. Be creative. That's why I'm still in therapy today. Be creative. Be creative. Okay, how am I going to be creative with this? A Betsy Wetsy. So I thought about it, and I thought about it, and I got the idea. I cut off all her hair. I put like an army jacket on her. I made her into a G.I. Joe. She was the biggest G.I. Joe in the neighborhood. Everybody wanted a big G.I. Joe like I had. It was great. I started a trend. The only problem was all of our G.I. Joes kept wetting their pants. Christmas memories run strong in our hearts. So as Jimmy Fallon's Christmas sweaters fade into the distance, as the fiscal cliff stops fiscaling for just a few moments, as you pause in the middle of all those things you must do, which time has now run out to arrive at a place called Christmas, my challenge tonight is simple. Hark, listen, and you will see, because you don't want to miss Christmas. Let me tell you three things you must listen for tonight. You must listen, and you will see a Savior. For unto you is born this day in the city of David a Savior, which is Christ the Lord. When I was in Denmark in October, I came across a book titled The Third Reformation. I actually met the author. The author titled his chapters like this: I'm religious, but in my own way. Down with the church. Faith is a private matter. Theology must adapt to our reasoning. The church loses or is losing market share. The new faith is Google Buddhism. And finally, it's all about feeling well. All about feeling well. But it was the lines from the back cover that most intrigued me. 1,000 years ago, Harald Bluetooth, king of Denmark, made us Christian. Around the year 1500 came Luther and made us Protestant. And now, 500 years later, we moved again the religious fence posts, and Google Buddhism is taking over. If you don't need a Savior, anything will do. If you don't need a Savior, even Google Buddhism is good enough. But Christmas memories run strong in our hearts. Maybe that's why, of all the traditional Christmas specials, the winner was the one I thought would win. They did a competition in the newspaper every Saturday. It was like a March Madness setup where they lined up all the TV Christmas specials of all time. And then each week people voted, and it got smaller and smaller, and the brackets got tighter and tighter, till finally A Charlie Brown Christmas faced off with The Grinch. And then they announced the winner on Saturday. Charlie Brown beat The Grinch. Charlie Brown beat Frosty. Charlie Brown beat Rudolph. Charlie Brown beat Mickey. He even beat the Star Wars holiday special. I didn't even know there was a Star Wars holiday special. I'm worried that there is a Star Wars holiday special. But think about it. A story that turns on Linus walking out on the stage, reading from Luke chapter 2, rises to the top of the Christmas tree like a star shining bright. I'd like to think it's because of the story. Hark, listen, and you will see. 1,000 years ago, Harald Bluetooth, king of Denmark, made us Christian. There was a king 1,000 years ago, and he read this story. There was a king 1,000 years ago, and he said, this is the answer I've been looking for. I can base my life on this. We can base our nation on this. We can build our culture on this. We can be different from other peoples. This is the truth, and we will build our lives on. For unto you is born this day in the city of David a Savior, which is Christ the Lord. But then we move 1,000 years into the future, and we think that we, of our own willpower, can control things. We think that we can be successful. We think that we can push levers and knobs and run economies and that everything will work out, but it doesn't. The audacity that we have to even think those things. We don't have the power to think ourselves out of this world. We're only getting out by trusting the one who came into this world to save us. Listen, and you will see that you need a connection to a Savior who said, I am the light of the world. I am the bread of life. I am the way and the truth and the life. No one comes unto the Father except through me. Listen, and you will see a Savior. Listen, and see who you really are. And Mary said, Behold, the handmaid of the Lord, be it unto me according to thy word. In a simpler way, she said, I am the Lord's servant. May it be to me as you have said. Anyone who listens to what God is saying to them is looking into a mirror, and they're beginning to see who they really are. There's even a passage about that in a letter that a man named James wrote a long time ago. He wrote, Anyone who listens to the word but does not do what it says is like a man who looks at his face in a mirror and after looking at himself goes away and immediately forgets what he looks like. But the man who looks intently into the perfect law that gives freedom and continues to do this, not forgetting what he has heard, but doing it, he will be blessed in what he does. She will be blessed in what she does. Mary heard those words from the angel, and it was like she was looking into a mirror. And that mirror revealed her heart. It revealed who she really was. Mary listens and sees herself as a servant of God. She is ready to do anything. Being ready to do anything is what changes everything. Don't ever forget that. Being ready to do anything is what changes everything. Newsweek proclaimed this week the myths of Jesus in an article raising question upon question about everything from the wise men to Joseph to the baby Jesus himself. But those things can be debated until the cows come home or until there's another Mayan prophecy to worry about. The fact is, Christmas for you and for me comes down to hearing the words of God and seeing who we really are. We're always living out what we see in the mirror. My favorite Christmas story, maybe the greatest Christmas story of all, is A Christmas Carol by Charles Dickens. And I love that story because of his creativity and the spirits that come to Scrooge in the night and the transformation of Scrooge. And we use that word Scrooge, and it sort of is a demeaning word. It speaks of selfishness and greed. Get out of my way. I'm reaching for what belongs to me. Step aside. I want more. Scrooge. But by the end of the story, he isn't Scrooge anymore. He's Ebenezer. For you see, Charles Dickens had the brilliance to put the whole meaning of the story in this man's name, Ebenezer. It's really two concepts put together. The second half of Ebenezer means salvation has come, or God has come down to help in a particular situation. God has shown up to help you. And the other part of the word means a rock or a marker, like a milepost. We're going to mark this place where God showed up. And so Ebenezer's name is God showed up to help me, Scrooge. God showed up to help me. And it was that transformation as he opened that window on Christmas morning and realized that it was still Christmas and that he was changed. Everything, the whole world was different to him. He was then a servant because he saw himself in the mirror that God had held up to him. For me, after 42 years of following him, I'm still just a servant, and I know that. I know that all too painfully well every single day. I do what he says. I go where he asks me to go. I listen so I can see who I really am. And on the days when I listen well, there is joy in my heart. And on the days when I don't listen well, I feel that I have missed something, and I'm far from being who God has called me to be. Listening and seeing myself in the mirror of his word to me is what keeps me sane in a world that is coming apart at the seams all around me. Listen, and you will see a Savior. Listen, and you will see who you really are. Listen, and you will see a treasure. Behold, a virgin shall be with child and shall bring forth a son, and they shall call his name Emmanuel, which being interpreted is God with us. God with us. We say it at this time of the year, and then we go back to work. God with us. We say it at this time of the year, and then we wrap a present or we open a present. God with us. We sing it in a Christmas carol. But stop. Listen. God with us. It's astounding. It drives us into incredulity. It spins our minds around and around. God with us. God with us, the creator of the universe, with us. It stops us. It stuns us. It calls to us. When Paul realized the meaning of this, he penned these words, "For God who said, 'Let light shine out of darkness,' made his light shine in our hearts to give us the light of the knowledge of the glory of God in the face of Christ." In other words, the God of Genesis said, "Let there be light." And Paul refers to this. For God who said, "Let light shine out of darkness." And then he turns the light from a light that creates everything, the light, the day, the darkness, all these things that God has done to create a universe for us. He turns that light and makes his light shine inside of us to give us the light of who he is, the knowledge of the glory of God. How? In the face of Christ. But we have this treasure, Paul writes, in jars of clay to show that this all-surpassing power is from God and not from us. In other words, when we realize how fragile we are, how easily broken we are, it's when we finally understand the treasure that God put inside of us is superintended by himself. And we are more wealthy than we could ever dream. We have the knowledge of the light of the glory of God inside of us. It's because of this baby, God with us. They shall call his name Emmanuel, God with us. It's astounding. Over the years, hundreds of thousands of people have gone to see this story. And they've journeyed to a place on 6th Avenue, about 50th Street in New York City, famous place called Radio City Music Hall, the Christmas show. It's a spectacular show. And you see the March of the Wooden Soldiers. You see dancing bears and Christmas trees. You see an orchestra come up out of nowhere and go someplace where you don't even know where it went. But the moment that's most breathtaking of all, the moment when you can hear a pin drop in that immense theater, is when they do a live nativity scene. And you see the animals, and you see Mary and Joseph and the baby. And then there's a scrolling on a see-through screen, a scrim. There's a scrolling of words that grab your heart and squeeze your soul. He was born in an obscure village, the child of a peasant woman. He grew up in another village where he worked in a carpenter shop until he was 30. Then for 3 years, he was an itinerant preacher. He never wrote a book. He never held an office. He never had a family or owned a home. He didn't go to college. He never visited a big city. He never traveled 200 miles from the place where he was born. He did none of the things that usually accompany greatness. He had no credentials but himself. He was only 33 when the tide of public opinion turned against him. His friends ran away. One of them denied him. He was turned over to his enemies and went through the mockery of a trial. He was nailed to a cross between two thieves. While he was dying, his executioners gambled for his garments, the only property he had on earth. When he was dead, he was laid in a borrowed grave through the pity of a friend. 20 centuries have come and gone, and today he is the central figure of the human race. All the armies that ever marched, all the navies that ever sailed, all the parliaments that ever sat, and all the kings that ever reigned put together have not affected the life of man upon this earth as much as this one solitary life. Emmanuel, God with us. Light and life to all he brings, risen with healing in his wings. Mild he lays his glory by, born that man no more may die. Hark, the herald angels sing, glory to the newborn king. But the carol, hark, the herald angels sing, has a fifth and last verse, which we never get to. It's down too far. We never sing the last verse. We do the first and the third or the second and the fourth. We don't get to the fifth, but it says these words. O, to all thyself impart, formed in each believing heart. Hark, the herald angels sing, glory to the newborn king. Formed in each believing heart. How does that happen? Hark, listen, and you will see. An angel came down one night to the earth, a mission from God to find out the worth of everything that his children had done since that winter night, the birth of his son. Being ready to do anything is what changes everything. Raise your hopeful voice. You have a choice. You'll make it now. Listen, and you will see a Savior. Listen, and you will see who you really are. Listen, and you will see a treasure. Hark, glory to the newborn King. Listen, you don't want to miss Christmas. Dear Heavenly Father, in a moment like this, as we hear the story and it wraps its arms around us, as we are drawn into miracle and mystery and wonder, in a moment like this, Father, take us now into Christmas. For we ask this in your holy name, in Jesus' name, in the baby of Bethlehem's name. Amen.